The Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast features people from the real estate community sharing real stories about their struggles, pains, and even losses during their own real estate journey. We share these real experiences so you can learn from them and build a successful journey of your own. Now, here's your host, Cody Lewis, one of the managing partners at Vindu Capital, located in Charleston, South Carolina.
I'm excited to have our guest on today. He's the COO and co-founder of JID Investments. John Rubino. John, thanks for joining us. How are you, sir?
Yeah, it's great to be here with you. Looking forward to it. Excited to talk with you and your listeners today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for joining us. I know everyone's incredibly busy, yourself included. So we really appreciate the time. For those that maybe haven't heard of you or your organization, if you wouldn't mind just giving us a little bit of background around where you're from, how you got into real estate, and what you're up to these days.
Wow, that's a big question. So originally from Brooklyn, New York, went to college in New York, graduated in 97. I got a third mate's license in the Merchant Marine, got my degree in business administration, and then I got my commission in the United States Navy. So you can see these planes around me. I was a pilot in the Navy for 20 years. I retired in 2017 and got into real estate back in probably 2005, 2006 timeframe. I was stationed in Southern Maryland with some good friends who were in real estate. And we decided that we wanted to get involved and start learning more about it. It seemed exciting at the time and wanted to kind of get into it a bit more. We started looking at different things, you know, fix and flips, probates, foreclosures. But when we really hit a good stride at new construction and we partnered with a local area home builder, we decided to build some new homes in an area that was really developing, really growing. Right by the military base there. We built a few new homes. We did real well. And I decided that, I like doing this, but I want to stay in the Navy. I have four kids. I wanted to make it a career, and I'm glad I did. And so what I did at that was about the 10-year point of my career. I decided to start investing passively with some of those friends of mine that got me involved actively. So for about 7 years, I invested a good chunk of capital. I was making about 10% a year on projects that the guys I knew were out there actively buying property, renovating them, doing condo conversions up here in the DC area, which is where I am. And they had a lot of success. And I was learning about the business through the project reports and the pro formas and the data, the demographics, the packages they were putting together. So I was building my understanding. So fast forward to 2013, 2012, I'm back here in Washington, DC. I'm on my last 4 or 5 years of being in the Navy. And I decided, I want to take that model of that passive investment. I didn't know it was called syndication, but now I do. I wanted to take the sponsors who I had invested with, partnering with them, and then introducing friends and family and people that were interested investing in private placement type opportunities to be part of the operations and me in the middle as the business, bringing the two together. So I started the business with my business partner who was at the time was my accountant. He's now our CFO. And together we went out and we started growing the company. We started small. We started investing in renovation projects, single family, fix and flips. We were bringing about 80 to 90% of the money to the table. But then we really hit our sweet spot, which is where we are now with development and new construction of multifamily, student housing, senior living, opportunity zone. We're really hitting the stride in the joint venture piece where we could come in as a limited partner or a co-GP to a sponsor's project. So we typically can bring in around $500,000 to $5 million. We do it on a deal-by-deal basis, typically set it up under a 506 B or C. And we syndicate these deals through the sponsors we partner with. So that's my story in a nutshell, Cody.
Sure. Well, listen, I love hearing that. First and foremost, thank you for your service.
Oh, thank you. It's an honor to serve.
It's interesting. It sounds like you've run the gamut of almost all the areas of real estate, single family, multifamily, both on the development side, the investment side, passively, actively. It's really incredible to hear. You have a wealth of knowledge and experience behind you. We don't always hear that from folks. Maybe they did get started in single family, move over to multifamily or whatever it may be. But it's interesting to hear that you have been a part of so many different areas of the real estate business. And I'm sure that's helped you in your career. Obviously, you guys are doing really well. So I'm anxious to hear, though. I'm sure it hasn't always been easy. There's been some stumbling blocks. There's been a challenge or two that's presented itself. So for our audience today, what comes to mind that would maybe help them or help somebody who's in a situation like that?
Yeah, I mean, we hit a rough spot early on, thank goodness, on our third project, which is a renovation project. We had a borrower that I knew well. We had two projects prior to that that did exceptionally well with him. And unfortunately, he decided to do things unethically, and he started fabricating some information. And, you know, when you're on a sugar rush or a high on two previous projects, you think, oh, wow, you know, it's going to go well with this guy and this business. So we got kind of caught up in a lot of things that weren't done very well. We were fabricated too on some information. And again, we took a lot of things for granted. So lesson learned there was we needed to treat the 10th or 20th deal with that guy, if we did it with him, which we haven't, that was the last one, but we should have kept and treated every deal like it was the first one. And what I mean by that is making sure you do your homework, do your due diligence, go out to the property, go and do your independent analysis, look for the red flags on every project, see what doesn't make sense versus what you're being told. If there is any disparity, those questions have to be answered. So you got to make sure that you always do your review of the information that your sponsor, your borrower, your operator, your partner is presenting, and then break off and do your independent analysis of what the market's doing. And hopefully they're both the same or very close. And that's kind of a huge lesson I learned. This past year, obviously, with COVID, has been, I think challenging would be the most underrated word to say in this period of time we've experienced. So, you know, learned a ton. You know, we were operating probably in the kind of golden era of the last cycle, you know, 2012 to 2020. And so we were very successful. We still are. But, you know, when you set the bar so high for you and your company and your team, you know, you're expecting to always hit the home run when you underwrite a home run. Now, when you underwrite a home run and you get a global pandemic, if you hit a double or a triple, that's still very good. And you have to say to yourself, you know what? That's why we underwrote a home run. That's why we underwrote a great number. And that, you know, if we come 80, 75% within that number, then that's okay. But we don't get caught up in, you know, hey, this market's going to continue to, no. You make your money on the front end. That's always been our kind of thought. And that's the type of sponsors we want to work with. Taxes was a big one this year. We learned a lot about taxes. We learned a lot about capital gains realization, even if you don't close out, you know, so there's a lot of different things we learned about this year. And you're always learning. I think the big thing is just anticipating to make sure that you can see something before it comes to fruition on the risk side and mitigate it as best as you can.
If I can, going back to the example you gave around the sponsor on your third deal, obviously mm-hmm. that was the last one you did with them. And we've heard this oftentimes on the show from other guests, a similar philosophy of trust, but verify.
Absolutely. Love it. Love it.
For those that are maybe in their second, third, maybe fourth with a similar sponsor or somebody that they're working with, or even not, they're looking to bring some new people in. What kind of things would you tell them? I know you gave us just a high level overview, but where were the things that you feel like y'all missed the most on that somebody's going through it now really needs to pay attention to avoid a situation like that?
Yeah, that's a great question, Cody. I mean, look, we're all good at certain things, right? We're really good at certain things. And those are the things as business owners, as people in real estate, you know, as investors, we resonate to. And those are the things we want to be around, that we want to do those things we like to do, like talk to other people, market, advertise, business development, going out and talking to the community, whatever it is. And then there's things that we may not be as good at, but we're still responsible for. So what I think you need to do is, if you're on that second, third, or 100th deal, is put the right team around you. Make sure you got the people around you that if you do struggle or you're not very good at, and humbly speaking, that you're not very good at a certain area, but you're still responsible for and accountable for, put the team around you that can help you with that. Whether it's a direct hire, it's a consultant, it's a mentor, it's a partner that you can put into that component of the business that really can help you get through those challenges. I tell everybody all the time, I don't care if you're Donald Trump, Robert Kiyosaki, Warren Buffett, Yeah, brilliant people and amazing at what they do, but they have a team around them. You know, right. You may not know the names of those folks, but they have a team around them that makes sure that if there is a challenge, you know, they go to that person, they point that person out.
And I love that we've heard before too, around the idea of a consultant or a coach and helping with that, especially if you don't have that partner within your organization.
Absolutely.
I would venture to say it's probably less expensive, even if it looks expensive, to bring someone like that in. It will be less expensive if you run into a challenge, which statistically you probably will at some point in time in your career. You're gonna have that person to rely on, and it will cost less in the long run to bring in that consultant or to bring in that coach that will help in the area that you're not as familiar with. My partner is incredibly great on the construction and the management side around that. That's not a skill set that I have. So we can help balance each other out. But if we didn't have that, bringing on that coach or consultant, much cheaper than having something like that happen, which sounds like you guys went through, and having to fix it on the back end.
Yeah. And, you know, the nice thing about our business, you know, we're a passive syndication company. You and I spoke a little bit before. You know, we go out and we partner with the active side. So there's a lot of trust and verification there, right? You've got to make sure the sponsors get at what they do. They're in the right location and they gel and are a good fit for you. We do a lot of that up front to make sure that they're a good fit. I look at that and say, why don't I want to work with that person? You know, because that to me is, you know, I want to make sure that I do everything I can to say I don't want to work with them. And if I get to that point where everything looks good, it's like, okay, they passed the test. Now I want to work with them. And then on the other side of the fence, when we start looking at their deals, we have 160 investors in our business. So got to make sure that I do a good job vetting the sponsor, going through the deal, making sure that everything is accounted for, and doing my best to bring that deal to my investors on a silver platter. But those investors are pretty bright people. They didn't get to where they are to be able to invest in projects like this and be owners of businesses and be professional trades folks, you know, overnight. So we look at it as a team effort. You know, we're very humble. If people come back and ask us poignant questions we can't answer, we got to either go back to the sponsor or get those questions answered. But we want to make it feel like a team sport. It's not us versus them. It's not stump the chump. We want everybody to be successful. If I look at a pro forma and I'm making my returns, but I see that the sponsor's making very little on his promote or his fees, that's an eyebrow raiser for me to say, hey, look, you know, how do you make money in this? Because you got to make money too. And that's a very important thing, that we're all on the same page. It's a partnership. We're a team. Everybody wants to be successful.
It is. And at the end of the day, it's a business and we're going to run it. We're going to run it as a team. So we have to understand all the different moving parts and who's doing what and who's responsible for what, but absolutely, making sure that we're all moving the ball together forward and not having somebody try and derail or move things in a different direction. We all want to keep that ball moving forward.
Yep.
And get to that. So
I agree.
John, I think that's as good a place as ever, maybe to wrap up, and really appreciate your time today coming on and talking to us. Obviously, your experience in real estate has been incredibly helpful to you. For those that maybe want to pick your brain, find out more about you and your company, where's the best place for folks to find you at?
So our website's, you know, very, very, it has a lot of great information on us. It's just, you know, www.J as in Juliet, I as in India, D as in Delta Investments, all one word.com. And on there, you'll be able to see everything about us, all of our projects, our process, all of our documentation, our services. And again, we're very transparent. We have nothing to hide. So we want to be able to share that with folks. We're also got a YouTube channel, JID Investments LLC. We're on LinkedIn, Facebook. So we're hanging on a lot of the social media. And, you know, my contact info is on there. Whether or not you share it on the show notes, that's fine. But you can find my contact info. And listen, I love talking to folks that are getting started. People are getting into the business because, again, you know, as someone that's been in the business, and I see this from people that are a lot better at this than I am, we're always wanting to make sure that people who are getting started know how to do it as best as they can without, you know, falling into some of the holes we fell in and we've tried to stay away from. So I'm always available to help, as well as talking to folks that are interested in what we're doing.
I love that. And that's one of the main reasons why we have this podcast. So we very much appreciate you coming on and really putting yourself out there and helping those that are maybe either new to the industry or just find themselves down a road that they didn't think that they would be going down right now. Hopefully this or other episodes can help those out. So John, thank you so much for the time. We really appreciate you coming on. I'll speak for the audience and say we very much appreciate it.
Thanks, Cody. Pleasure and an honor. Have a great day.
Absolutely. We'll catch everyone next time.
You've been listening to the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast with Cody Lewis. Be sure to subscribe today on your favorite podcasting platform so you can catch every episode of the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast.